Welcome to the Scalable Marketing Machine Podcast. I'm your host, Victoria Hadrar, marketing consultant for female founders and creator of the Scalable Marketing Machine Accelerator. I've helped dozens of women grow and scale their businesses from six to seven figures and beyond, helping founders like you to implement my proven growth system that focuses on brand communication, marketing strategy, building your lean team, and leadership. On this podcast, we talk all about what it takes to get to the next level in marketing and in life, focusing on practical, tactical advice that will help you grow your business and explode your revenue. Are you ready to learn? Let's dive in. Hello, friends. Hi, and welcome to this week's episode of the Scalable Marketing Machine Podcast. How do you avoid yourself or one person on your team being the bottleneck for your business? What's the trick? What's the tips, right? That's what we're talking about this week, because I've recently, and again, like the thing that I love about my business is I teach marketing. I have this beautiful podcast that I love doing. It's my favorite Friday ritual. I record every Fridays, but I'm getting my hands dirty also as a fractional CMO inside other people's businesses. I've helped dozens of women help scale their business from six to seven figures. I'm inside with their teams, building teams, doing their goals, reporting on the scorecard each and every week, like going through the challenges of having a real business. I'm not just teaching it, I'm doing it. And so this podcast is often the lessons that I learn from things that I'm seeing like in the field. And recently, I had a situation with a client where her operations person is absolutely a bottleneck in the sense of if we took that person out of the business, the founder felt like everything would fall to the ground. And so this is what I really want to talk about today. There's that idea of the bottleneck, and maybe that's not the right phrase. It's more like, how does the success of your business not hinge on one individual? Now, many of the times this individual, it could be you. And when us, as founders, are sort of responsible for everything that happens in the business, that's when we look at this term bottleneck, right? But we can also apply this to our teams, right? Sometimes we have folks that have been on our teams, maybe they've been with us from the beginning. But one thing that I also have seen out in the field, and this is absolutely true, is once you get to a different revenue level, or once you get to that scaling point in your business, a lot of the folks that were with you from the start, yes, some can grow with you, but many times the team that got you to one point is not necessarily the team that's going to get you to the next point. And so that's what we're talking about today. How do we create a business that is fluid, that can be successful no matter who is actually executing the tasks in the business? Now, yes, we want to find great people. We need to get the right people on the bus, so to speak. But I don't want you ever to feel that you are held prisoner by keeping someone in your business that maybe isn't right because that one person holds so much knowledge and really has that deep context about the business that you feel so scared if that person leaves. Now, I mean, there's two scenarios there as well. There's the scenario where, you know, someone maybe is not a right culture fit, or maybe your relationship gets, you know, you just don't like that person anymore, right? That can happen. Or that person doesn't have sort of the right culture that you want to build, is not in line with the culture that you want to build. There's so many reasons. But on the flip side, it becomes a really uncomfortable situation if one person holds all the knowledge, because what happens if that person finds another opportunity? Or what happens if that person just is not happy anymore, or they, you know, move across the world or whatever? Like, there's so many reasons why having one person be the linchpin in your business is not a good idea. So what we're going to talk about today is some strategies, some tactics that you can put into place to make sure that you are not in this situation where it's either you or one key person on your team that is like the make or break for the business. Because as you grow and scale, we need to implement systems that are repeatable. We need to have our business organized in a way that it's not just one person that knows where the thing and the folders are and can navigate all the passwords and all of that stuff. Because it becomes very painful if that person is no longer in the business, but it doesn't have to be that way. So how exactly do we start to begin to build a business that's going to run, hopefully without us someday, right? That would be wonderful. But a business that can run without one person that is really controlling everything. And again, this is very attractive if that person is you. That's probably the most cases of who's listening to the podcast. But if you're lucky enough to have built like a substantial team and you have like that operations director or you have that marketing manager, right? And you're like, if that person leaves, everything would fall apart. We don't want to be in that situation, okay? So I'm going to go through, let's see, I have some notes. I've got about, I've got about 10 things that I've written down, 10 ideas that I want to talk about. And that's going to help you build a sustainable business, right? One that can function without you or without this person that you think that you need so badly. And so the first step here is about delegation, right? So delegation is, there's two sides to it, right? It's what you're delegating, and then it's how efficiently and effective that person who you're delegating to receives that delegation. And in order for that to be possible, you yourself need to understand what things need to happen in my business, right? So a very, very basic level, you as the founder have to have a handle on what are the tasks and the processes that are flowing in my business. And in a smaller business, oftentimes, like, one of the problems is that you as the founder don't have visibility into those things that are happening. And the reason is because there's no standardization or systemization to the people that are executing the things in your business. And again, like, you may think, okay, systems and processes and SOPs, this is like for my employees. And so that mindset really holds us back because many of us with like smaller teams, we're not like beefed up with everyone as a full-time employee. A lot of times we've got freelancers and contractors, but it is just as important for us to understand their processes. And you may feel bad kind of having them put together their SOPs and talk about exactly how they're executing on their things. And that is a really great example of you not holding the knowledge, right? If you have an agency executing things in your business, you have no idea what their processes are. So that means if you ever want to bring that in-house, you're starting from scratch. Whereas if you were smart and you sort of asked all of these people that are executing in that agency to deliver the SOPs to you, then you would have that process that you could train other people on and bring other, and you can move from agency if you don't like what they're doing. You don't have to feel like you're starting from scratch. So the first step in all of this is really understanding what is going on in your business in each and every department, right? And that goes from your financial stuff, like putting your books together, what needs to happen. You don't need to understand every single piece of the puzzle, but you need to understand what processes are running, right? Hiring, what are the processes that are running? Sales, what are the processes that are running? Marketing, all of the pieces. Social media, what processes? Website updates, what processes? My funnels, all of these things. So, and by the way, you don't have to do this on your own. If you have people, individuals that are executing these things, if you have a bookkeeper or an accountant, they can help you pull this list together to understand what is going on, right? What are the things that they actually do day to day? But you want to collect all of those processes into one. And it could be just like a bullet point list. Okay, by department, here are all the kind of things that have to happen in order to move things forward. You gaining that knowledge is a really important first step, okay? So the next piece of the puzzle is making sure that for across all areas, you have a competent team, okay? So this means like you have people that that when you ask them to deliver SOPs and explain their processes and explain what they're doing, that they're able to do that. People that are incompetent or inexperienced or immature, maybe they're not going to be able to communicate that information well. And so when you're going through this process of really understanding all of the things that happen across the different like functions and departments in your business, you'll understand the pieces that are a little bit weaker. So if someone does like can't deliver their processes or explain really what goes on, it's a really good sign that maybe that person is not doing like the best job for you, right? If you're growing a business, you need people that are switched on, that are strategic, that can do some simple tasks like creating SOPs for you, right? Because the mentality that you want to foster here is that everyone in your business wants to see you thrive and win. And part of that is documenting the processes. So that's the next step, right? So our competent team, so we want to identify our competent team. And if we have some weak links in the chain, can we get, you know, can we supplement that person or help get someone to put these processes together? So for example, like if you have a social media manager that is, you know, maybe a little bit inexperienced and not really able to kind of put their processes together and organize themselves properly, finding someone, like getting a reference of someone that can help maybe just with that project. You don't have to hire that person. But even if you pay that person, you know, a couple hundred bucks to just help you put together some systems and some SOPs, it's going to be absolutely worth it, because then you know that you're going to be running your business with like a clear path of what needs to happen. And let's move to number three, because I can dig into this forever. This is really, really fun for me. I love this shit. So the third is documenting processes. So once we know we have the right team to document the process, because you're not going to be able to document all these processes, right? We need to get that help. You want to create, what I like to create for clients is called an SOP library. And it's super simple. It's just a Google sheet that's called your SOP library. I organize it by department. And then I just make a list of like, you know, how to X, Y, and Z. And it's one document that just walks through the process. Like you can just record a video, like when someone's actually executing on something. You can just write it out step by step, or have them better to write it out step by step. But this is really, really just critical, right? It's the first step in making sure that, okay, you're not going to be bound to one person. If that person leaves, you have all of the processes, the SOPs documented of how your particular business executes a certain thing. And you can, you know, find the next great person that's just going to kind of slip in. And then you use those SOPs to train them up. And then they're free to expand on those SOPs, to change those SOPs, but at least they're not starting from scratch. And they can kind of hit the ground running quicker than if you kind of brought someone in and they had to figure out all of their processes and they have to understand how you do things. Because each business uses particular systems, right? And I see this all the time in the marketing department. We'll use the example again as the social media manager. There are so many scheduling platforms, right? There's so many CRMs. And so often, like good social media managers or marketing managers or whatever, you know, they come in and if they're unfamiliar with a system, then they should get with the account manager and they should, you know, understand all the capabilities of the system and what you're using and the passwords and all these things. But if it's rolled into an SOP, that's just a couple days versus a couple weeks to get ramped up. So processes are important. The next piece of the puzzle is for you as the founder to really have a clear understanding of the priorities and the main focus of each of the departments in your business. This cannot be your operations director holds all of this knowledge and you don't, okay? Part of you being the founder and CEO of the business is having a really good working knowledge of what everyone is doing, and also what are the priorities and focuses of each function of the business, right? As a founder and CEO, you need to be a really good generalist in all of the things that happen in your business. And so if you have the personality type where you're kind of like not really understanding what's going on, and you have like a really good executing operations person that holds all that knowledge, again, that person becomes like the linchpin and you're tied to that person. If that person leaves, everything would fall apart, right? So you really want to be careful about that. Next, you have to understand, what does success look like for each function of the business, right? And again, we're talking high level stuff. So if we understand kind of the goals and the focus, like the main outcomes we want from each function of the business, we know what each function should be focused on, then we need to understand what success looks like. And that means setting the right expectations. And you need to understand that as the founder, as the CEO of your business, right? That knowledge cannot be held by your individual contributor or by one, you know, main operations person that's overseeing. No, you also need to hold that knowledge, because if that one person goes away and you have to bring someone else in there, you want to understand when you're training up that new person or onboarding up that new person, you know, what is going to be their KPIs? And if you're not aligned with those goals of the department and the focus and what success looks like, it's going to be very hard for you to set those KPIs. And again, all of this, this whole discussion is really looking at our business from this like 10,000 foot view, right? Really understanding, right? What core systems and tasks are happening across department? You know, making sure that those things are documented. What are the goals of each department? What does success look like for each department? You holding this knowledge is going to make sure that whomever you get into that position is going to have to align with those goals, that focus, and those expectations. And then you'll know if they're doing a good job or not, right? So this is really helpful, useful stuff, an example of working on your business instead of working in your business. So let's go to the next suggestion, which is implementing automations at every level that you can. So when things are automated and systemized, this is the smartest thing you can do as a founder. It's going to be the best use of your time, because automations do not rely on anyone, right? They can flow even if that person leaves. So a really good example of this are like email flows and things like that you can send out through your CRM. If you have those email flows set up, it doesn't hinge on one person to be sending out individual emails or to be running individual campaigns. If you zoom out and you're like, hey, we can automate our promotional calendar because we have X amount of sales or promotions a year. We're going to create all of those assets at one time. We're going to put it all into an automation flow. And then that person just has to click activate at those certain points of the year. And it's done, right? It's done. And then you could be, automations also help you really do quality control as well, because with automations usually come really robust reporting, right? Things that you can look at whenever anything's systemized through automations, right? You can look at performance, you can really see like problems and opportunities much quicker than if one person was individually executing on something and then, you know, the metrics and all of that was sort of more in their own head. So implementing automation whenever possible, okay? And so the next piece of not having one person be the bottleneck is like, once all of these things are in place, so you have each kind of function and department organized and systemized, automation is flowing when possible, then the individual that you put in to actually execute on those different functions of the business, well, now they're sort of out of the weeds because they've got a clear process. They've got some clear, help with automations, and you're sort of leveraging technology to help make their job easier. And so when that person is in that role, you can feel confident then having that person, you know, be more creative or make decisions or actually perform the role without much oversight by anyone. Because another reason that you or someone on your team could become the bottleneck is because that individual contributor is not functioning independently. That person needs so much handholding, they can't make their own decisions, right? They can't kind of work on their own. They need that guidance, that handholding, or whatever. And when that is the situation, then whomever is the handholder becomes a bottleneck, right? So when we put all of these systems in place, we truly empower our team to work independently. And if that person leaves, we've set up the next person for success. And we can just make sure that we get the best next person in that can also operate independently. So that's why this, I hope you can begin to see these foundational pieces are going to make your business run more as a machine than just like through your own, like, you know, late nights and your own physical hands in everything. Then the number nine, okay, so the next piece of this is investing in your own development as a leader, right? And I talked about this last week or a couple weeks ago about, you know, leadership really being the 80-20 in your business. And when you really are looking at this 10,000 foot view of your business and you're really looking at the systems and the organization of your business, right? And you focus on being a better leader and just like understanding systems better, understanding how to lead people better. That also will open the door for making this more sustainable business. Because as you learn more about leadership, the more you'll understand that leadership is not about micromanaging. And whether you're micromanaging like the individual tasks that you're executing themselves in your business because you feel like no one else can do it as well as you are, or you have a weak team member, or maybe that team member is okay, but they just don't have the systems and processes in place and you're micromanaging them, you're not getting the most out of them. And also, again, you're making one individual person the linchpin in your business, right? The one that's actually going to get things over the finish line. No, when you have all these systems in place and you develop yourself as a leader and you learn really more about systemization of business, well, then no one person becomes the linchpin in the business. No one person is going to make or break the business, right? It can flow on its own. And let me tell you, like, the most successful founders that I've worked with, like the ones that have reached multiple million and even billion-dollar businesses, they set up these systems and they are not micromanaging. They are trusting that their team is going to do a good job. They're managing the results, right? Not managing the people, managing the results. And the only way you could get to that point is if you implement all the things that we're talking about today, right? You understand the critical things about your business. You know that the critical systems are in place, that you empower your team to work independently because all of these systems are in place. And then all we need to do is manage the outcomes of that individual and encourage them and lead them, right? And so the last bit of all of this, like everything in business, is that iteration and improvement. And that comes with feedback, right? So once all of this stuff is in place, these systems, the processes, the SOPs, right? Having those check-ins with your team, right? And really getting on a good sort of like getting on the same level of them of understanding, okay, what's working and what's not working. Because these systems and the automations and the SOPs and all those things are constantly should be reviewed, iterated, and improved upon. And the ones that should be iterating and improving upon them are the individuals that are executing. They're going to be way better positioned to iterate and improve on a process that is part of their responsibilities than you are. So the end of all of this journey is, how do we take the responsibility of growing the business out of your individual hands or out of the hands of one particular person on your team, and you spread it across all of your team members, right? And then you can ensure, you can make sure, you could know for sure that in their individual expertise, that they are getting better and better and better. And the finally, I'll close kind of with this thought, because, you know, as a founder or that one key person in your business that everything relies on, right? What I've seen is that neither you or that one key admin person or whatever in your business is going to be an expert at each of these individual functions of the business. And when you feel that you need to kind of strong arm the results or micromanage people or that individual needs that seems that they need to, what's happening is that the success of that individual function of the business is sort of capped at the knowledge of you or that one key person. But when you set up a system that I've talked about today, where we're empowering the executor of that particular task or function in the business to iterate and improve on their system, right? And in their own performance, what we're doing is ensuring that all of the different silos in the business, the HR, the marketing, the sales, the finance, whatever, everything is just getting stronger and stronger and stronger and stronger, instead of you or that one sort of linchpin being sort of like the roof and the ceiling, because you guys feel like you have to control everything that's going on, right? So we want to talk, we want to get into this idea of empowering our team and getting competent, strong, productive people, right, to execute all of these functions in our business. That's going to help our business ultimately succeed. And you know, there's this quote that I really love by Zig Ziglar, who that says, you know, you build the people and then the people build the business. And I think we need to really keep that sentiment close to our hearts as founders, because we can get our business to one certain piece, right? We can get it to a certain level. And oftentimes when we achieve some success, doing everything ourselves, we realize like, hey, we didn't create a business for ourselves. We just created like a really shitty job that never ends and has so much pressure and so much stress, right? But if we flip the script and we start looking at how do I build a sustainable business and get the right team members on board with me to help grow and scale, then it doesn't become your, you know, just made a really tough and demanding job for yourself. Now you say, okay, my focus should be how do I improve the overarching structure of this business? How do I get great people on and encourage them to do their best work and then have those people grow the business for me? That's when you have a true business and you didn't just create a job for yourself. So I hope this was helpful for you. If you struggle with, you know, getting yourself out of the business, you don't know how to create these SOPs, you have a hard time hiring, shoot me a DM on LinkedIn. I love to hang out on LinkedIn. My last name is, so I'm Victoria Hajar, H-A-J-J-A-R. And I would love to hear from you. And if there's anything else, like any piece that I talked about today that you want to dig into deeper, just let me know and I'll make an individual episode on that. So thanks as always for tuning in with me. I love this. I love being here with you. I love sharing these ideas and kind of reporting what I'm going through in the field and, you know, decomplicating all of the pieces of marketing. It's what I love. So hope to see you back here next week for the Scalable Marketing Machine podcast. You did it. You made it to the end of the episode. Thanks for sticking around with me and listening all the way to the end. I really appreciate you as an audience member, and I hope that you found this helpful. If you did like this episode, it would mean so, so much to me if you subscribed, if you rate and review this podcast. It helps other people know that this podcast has something worth saying. It also would be super awesome if you could take a screenshot and share on Instagram and tag me at Ugly Ventures, UGLI Ventures, VENTURES. I am always so appreciative to hear from you, and I hope to see you back here next week